Okay, everybody sit down. Hey, that's good, that's good, that's good. This, several years ago, I had a girl that took 19 hours of my math classes, made A's at all 19 of them, turned in phenomenal work, and never once left class without telling me, thank you. Wonder who that might be. Hi, Becca. Rebecca Vasek. I don't know what flattery is, but I sure appreciate that. I'm glad she's here. Okay, with all that in mind, when I used to tell my kids, eat your broccoli, they said, why? They never said that when I said, eat your ice cream. Why do people say why? Because they're rebellious. They're rebellious. If you go to the dentist and he looks in and said, your mouth and says, there's a mighty big cavity in here. But anyhow, there's a mighty big cavity in here. And you say, why? He said, because you didn't brush your teeth. And you say, I didn't know that was important. Right? You say, I've got to understand before I do anything. Now, wait a minute. You're going to go out in the parking lot. You're going to start your car. And you don't know a thing about combustion kinetics. Right? If you waited till you understood what's happening in your car before you started the ignition, you'd die in the parking lot. Why is an overworked word, and we use it for understanding. Did you check the strength of materials in your chair before you sat down? No. Why and understanding is an excuse. And so, anyhow, you tell somebody, you ought to get saved. Why? Or how about this? I'll do it later. That's because they don't understand. Okay, everybody's got that? They even wrote a song about that. It says, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand, but we'll understand it better by and by. I want to talk to you a little bit today about understanding. But first, let's have a word with our sponsor, one who fearfully and wonderfully made us. Everybody knows to get maximum signal strength, it takes four bars. Get your four bars up. Let's pray. Dear God, it sure is good being here, being saved, and on our way to heaven. Help us, Lord, to realize that everything that goes on, you've already got programmed. Help us not to mess that program up. Please speak through me today. Help us all to leave here loving you more, serving you better, and above all, letting it show. Amen. Okay, I'm going to have to wear sunglasses up here next time. Okay. Look in your Bible at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. We're worried about understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It's in the middle of your Bible. Well, a little bit past. Okay? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What's the last word in that verse? Oh, what does it start with? The fear of the Lord, right? Let's back up to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It said, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge. And what's that last word again? Now, let's see if we can count to four. The Lord, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, right? Did you know four comes after three? You say, yeah, maybe there's something there. So the path to understanding starts with what? The fear of the Lord. You say, I think fear here means awesome. Did you ever stop to think? If you ever stop to think, would you start again? But anyhow, did you ever stop to think that God is awesome? That's why, one of the reasons I fear him. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, boy, I don't have to understand that. I just go, wow. Right? Sure. I don't know whether you ever worry about stuff like this. But I read that if the gravitational constant varied by one part in 10 to the 45th, that's 10 with 45 zeros after. You have to turn your paper sideways to get it all on. If it varied by that much, the universe couldn't exist. I told that to my wife, and she says, Pete, no one understands that kind of stuff. So I calculated if I had 10 to the 45th teaspoons of water, I would have enough water to make 800 billion Earths. That's pretty good, isn't it? And God got it down to one part, right? Are you that careful? Maybe if God was that careful with creating the universe, he's careful about creating us too. You ever have to say, God's awesome, isn't he? Boy, I get excited about that. I don't know whether you ever noticed it or not. Probably didn't. But everybody in chemistry uses Avogadro's number. Everybody knows it's 6.02 times 10 to the third. Everybody says that, but nobody knows. You can't count that high. If I had 8 billion, Frieda says, I don't understand that. Girls understand money. If I had 6 billion people on Earth spending $1 million per day, 365 days a year, it would take 274,000 years to spend that much money. How do they know it's 6.02? They can't count that far. And everybody, without understanding, they'll say, yeah. Okay? Isn't that amazing? I love God because he's awesome, but I love God because he's loving. He commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I have people in my neighborhood I have a hard time even putting up with. No, I don't, but Christ loved us so much he died for us. And I got thinking, how could he feel that way about us? Eons and eons ago, probably 40 years, all the kids were little, and I was at home one night about 8:30. My wife said, oh, no. That means I need something in a hurry. I said, Frieda, I'll go. What do you need? It's either that or not. And she says, I need something from South Lake Mall. I said, it's closing in 30 minutes. She said, hurry. And I went down to South Lake Mall. I'm charging through the mall. And in the middle of the mall, they had a petting zoo. They had all the animals. The kids go out and pet them and stuff like that. And I'm saying, wow, I'm going to bring my kids by here tomorrow so they could enjoy the petting zoo. I could have enjoyed it right then, but that wasn't interesting. I wanted them to enjoy it. So I went over and I said, how long are you going to be here? And they said, we're about to close down and leave. You won't be here tomorrow? No. I went home, and I felt bad because my children, whom I love dearly, miss the petting zoo. But you won't believe this. Marlene Evans talked those people into putting the petting zoo in the lobby the next day. Glory to God, that was great. But you know, I love my kids so much, I couldn't enjoy something if they couldn't enjoy it too. Did you know that's how much God loves us? He can't enjoy us unless we enjoy it too. Ain't God awesome? Woo! But that's not all. God is just. I think, you know why God put the Egyptian army behind the children of Israel? They'd have never gone through the Red Sea without it. Right? Look at all that water. Look at those fish. Go ahead. You're here called of God to study, to learn, to prepare for the ministry. Therefore, all we should have to do is give classes and you'd be there. Why do you think we give tests? That's the Egyptian army pushing on you. And so anyhow, God is awesome. This verse really has kept me straight over the years. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When I want to quit or do something wrong, God says, what about Kelly, Kevin, Kristen, and Keith? What do you want them to reap? God is awesome. And did anybody have this for your life first? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Why don't you pick that one out? Yeah, if you endure chastening. Ain't God just? Boy, step one. The way to understanding is starting out with the fear of the Lord. Okay? Step two is the beginning of wisdom. How do you get the beginning of wisdom? Obviously, start out by fearing God, right? Wisdom is knowing what to do. And so you say, how about this? You say, I'd sure like some wisdom. Wonder how to get it. I'm going to read a verse to you. I won't even do it in the Greek. Maybe you can understand this in the English. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Duh. Right? And, here's the disclaimer. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And then the next verse is the disclaimer. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. I haven't stood up for 30 minutes in a row since I got hurt. You know why I brought this? Because I got wavering. Yeah. So are y'all that way about wavering? Yeah. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed about. Boy, if any man wants wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith. How about this for a good promise? If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You say, if I just knew what to do, I'd do it. If any man will do his will, according to that verse, if you're willing to do his will, you're going to know, right? You know, we'd like for God to tell us his will, and we want to look at it and see if he's got a plan B. You've never done that, but I have, okay? So, what do you do? Step one, you fear God. Step two, you ask it. And step three, knowledge of the holy by knowledge of the holy. That's knowing how to do it. Knowledge of the holy strengthens my fear of God. Knowledge. You know what's wrong with knowledge? I hopped off of this verse. Study. Ooh. To show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Y'all can hardly wait till you get to your room so you start studying again, right? You wouldn't let scoping in the hallway interfere with your studying. No. No. Okay. Here's what I found a long time ago. You excel at what you think about in your spare time. Do any of you girls spend a lot of time thinking about your next date? Why? You want it to excel, right? And any of you guys ever excel about thinking about how you're going to ask them for a date, for some girl for a date, and then, rock, you chicken out. But anyhow, you excel at what you think about in your spare time. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Wow. Maybe, just maybe, we ought to study. Maybe, just maybe, we ought to think about things in the Bible in our spare time. Hey, how about this? Philippians 4:8. Finally, that means when it's all settled and done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, here's a command. Think on these things. What are we commanded to think about? Well, I can't remember all that, so I have a word that I have. True, honest, just, pure, lovely. THJPL. I pronounce it thejipple. Can you say thejipple? Yeah. That reminds me of what I'm supposed to think about. I don't know about you, but a lot of times during the day, I'll be thinking about something, and I'll say, is this thejipple? That means I'm not supposed to be thinking about it. None of you have that. I'm just confessing. I'm preaching this sermon to me. Okay? So we've got to monitor our thoughts at a conscious level. Do you let yourself mind just wander? It might never come back. But seriously, do you ever stop to think what you're thinking about? You should. Man, you steer your car, don't you? Maybe there's something up here that needs steering too, right? So this all worked out pretty good because I remember when I went to the University of Tennessee, I was going to study engineering. I didn't want to believe anything as vague and abstract as this book. I wanted the answers. And I thought, boy, this is where it's all going to be. And I remember sitting in my freshman chemistry class. I'm lost as a goose at this. Well, most geese are still lost. But anyhow, I'm lost as a goose at this time. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in an acoustically perfect room, curved walls, curved ceilings, big periodic table of the elements behind the teacher. He could punch buttons and light them up. And I was thinking, now, Pete, you're about to find out what life is all about. Teacher waddled out. You know, people that are educated beyond their intelligence and liberal newscasters move their mouths more than they need to when they speak. And he, today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to study the atom. And I said, yes, the atom. No one has ever seen an atom. No. And then this atom, which no one's ever seen, are three subatomic particles. That was in 1957. When I finished Georgia Tech in 1966, we had over 20 subatomic particles. You say, I want to live by logic. Did you know there's such a thing as massless particles? How would you like to have a massless date? Yeah, and I'm sitting there, all this time that I'm thinking this way, God's prodding me another way. He said, Pete, do you believe in things you haven't seen that have inside of them some things you haven't seen? Did you know to this day, the smallest indivisible subatomic particle is supposed to be an electron? And you can't, well, in 1909, a guy named Thompson got a Nobel Prize for proving an electron had mass. 40 years later, his son got a Nobel Prize for proving it didn't. Boy, they'd give up Nobel Prizes up pretty loosely. They had to. Barack Obama got one. But anyhow. But I kept, the longer I stayed in school and the more I studied, the more I knew there had to be a God. I'm thinking. And finally, I read the second law of thermodynamics. And that blew my mind. It said the universe is unwinding and there's nothing we can do about it. I remember in my textbook, the author said this, the second law of thermodynamics has increased this author's conviction. There is indeed a supreme being in whose hands lies the destiny of the universe. You ever sat in a secular classroom and got goosebumps? I got back to my room. I got on my knees, made sure no one was around. And I prayed the world's scariest prayer. It went like this. God, I believe you're there. If you'll show me, I'm asking in faith now, what to do. I promise I'll do it. Nothing wavering. You won't believe what happened. That was on a Wednesday. On Saturday, I always went to the football games, and my roommate and I always went and saved two seats because girls, you know, time's an elusive concept with a female of the species. You could always count on some going by. And actually, you really can't save seats. Jesus didn't die for them. But anyhow, Kentucky football game, fall 1960. A beautiful blonde girl walked by. Is that seat saved? I said, no, have a seat. She said, she did. And she's sitting next to me and over the left end of the stadium in the distance, you can see the Smoky Mountains. For you in Indiana, mountains are undulations in the surface of the earth. You know, when the highest thing in your town is the garbage dump, you're missing something. But anyhow, I said, aren't the mountains beautiful? Yes, she said. Let's go to the mountains tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sunday. I said, I know. She said, I go to church on Sunday. I got a funny feeling. It started right here. Worked my way down to both feet. I still get that feeling when I'm in an argument with my wife and I realize I'm losing. And so I fall to my knees, I grab her around the ankles and say, I'm sorry, Frieda. No, I don't. I back up and I raise my voice and say, that has nothing to do with it. But anyhow, I said, I know. I said, well, hey, you have a date tonight? Yes. I said, I do too. I'll break mine. If you break yours, let's go out. I don't do that. And I'm sitting there, and it's getting toward the end of the game. It's a big campus. I'm thinking, I didn't want to save this seat for nothing. I said, well, where could I take you on a date? And she said, you could take me to church tomorrow. I ask in faith, nothing wavering. We went to a Baptist church. You wouldn't believe it. She took her Bible to the Baptist church. And when the scripture preacher gave the scripture reference, I'm looking at the alphabetical index of the book of the Bible, and she turned to it. And I'm watching her. She's enjoying herself in church. I thought church was where you went so God could get even with you for any fun you had that week. I said, this girl is different. All of a sudden, I've been dating a lot of girls. All of a sudden, they didn't interest me a whole lot. I said, I got to do something about it. It took a week or two. She was dating a lot of different guys, too. You people at Hiles Anderson, you say, I'd like to ask her for a date, but she got a boyfriend. She already did. That means quit asking. I decided I wanted her pretty badly. I finally got a date with her. We went to one of those places where the lighting is subdued and they show a rapid succession of still frames giving the illusion of motion. A movie. After the movie, went back to the girls' dorm. We're over back to the dorm, my 1956 Dodge, push-button transmission, dual antennas, dual exhaust, three-tone paint job. I'm looking for a dark parking place in front of the dorm. I found one. I shut off the ignition switch, pulled the emergency brake, turned off the headlights. Seatbelts were, didn't even think about seatbelts in those days, and we had bench seats all the way across. Turn off the lights, and I slid across the seat, put my arm around her, and I'm thinking, good move, Pete. And I turned to her. I was going to do a little mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I turned to her with my lips puckered, and she was sitting there with her hands folded in her lap. And she looked back at me, and she said, you girls remember this. Let's pray. That cold feeling started right about here. The pucker disappeared. She led me to Christ. 59 years, 5 months, 9 days. And now I am now married to the world's foxiest great-grandmother. Where did it start? I ask in faith, nothing wavering. Did you know it works? God, if you show me what to do, I promise you I'll do it. Everything's going pretty good. And now it's 1977. I'm teaching at the University of Tennessee. We got a house sitting in the middle of 33 acres of wooded hills. I'm a tenured full professor. We put our kids in the best public school system in the state. Nothing but the best. And they're making fun of my daughter. Because she doesn't believe in evolution. They're saying, send your child's favorite rock record to church, to school. We're going to learn to dance to it. They did away with report cards because they were discriminatory. As a principal, high school knew me real well. I was over there a lot. And God said, Pete, it's time. Or a scary prayer. I said, God, for my children's sake, if you'll show me what to do, I promise you, I'll do it. We started, by the way, the guy that made that logo up there, I met at a retreat one time, and we started a coffee house ministry. He had shoulder length hair and a hippie and stuff. We both got excited about the Lord, but that coffee house ministry was flourishing. One thing we did right, because we had Baptist preachers come in and preach to the kids all the time. At one time, Frieda and I had 16 kids up here from a Southern Baptist church. And Brother Hiles heard about that. And he called me up. Why are you all your students up here and you're not? Simple. I've been to Hammond before. Trip to Hammond is like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It felt good when it's over with. He said, I think you should be up here teaching. Boy. And then he made it really hard. He gave me a 60% pay cut. God, if you show me what to do, I promise you, I'll do it. And the best thing about it all was when I told Frieda, I think God wants us to move to heaven, she said yes. When you girls get married, your husband wants to go somewhere and start a church in a storefront. What are you going to say? I don't want to do that. Right? My mom and dad think it's wrong. How do you think my mom and dad felt? How do you think Frieda's parents felt? How do you think our friends felt? They didn't understand. They said, how can you do something like that if you truly love your children? Try this verse. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That was 45 years ago. How's it going? Hey, Wesley and Ryan, where would you have been if I hadn't followed God, huh? Where would my son Kevin be? If I hadn't followed God, my sons wouldn't be in the ministry. No telling what would have happened. And a 60% pay cut is not as expensive as drug rehab and jail bond. Let's see. I understand it now. How y'all doing? I bet there's a lot of folks don't understand why you're here. But they'll understand it better by and by. Let's stand. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's pray. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like wind of the sea, driven and tossed about. Maybe it'd be good if you decided to pray a real scary prayer. It's not very long. It goes something like this. God, if you'll show me what to do, I promise you, I'll do it. Dear God, help me to live by that prayer, and thank you for the results. Amen.